Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope this message opens your heart and changes your life.
Well, I want to do part two of a message series that I started last week. And the title of the series is The Legend. The Legend. Last week, we looked at a definition or two about what a legend can be. And there's different ways to define it. A legend, first of all, can be a story that may or may not be true. How many of you guys have ever told a legend? A story, it may or may not be true. There's legends throughout history. Obviously, the legend of Jesse James, stealing from the rich to pay the who? The poor, right? I mean, you got legends like Bigfoot. It's a legend, right? Some of you guys believe in that, and you're like a Bigfoot chaser. But God bless you. So there's legends in a story that they may or may not be true. There's the legend that is a person. Like a famous person, or a notoriously famous person. That's another definition of a legend. And the last one that I mentioned last week is a legend is a diagram that explains symbols on a map. Before, they had Siri, before they had MapQuest, they had maps that you wrote, you didn't write on, but that you opened up and they were on things called paper. Anybody remember these? Remember the ones that, you like fold in the 35 different ways and you hold them out like this, and then when you try to fold it back, it never works? Anybody? Come on now. Some of you kids are like, heck no, I don't even know what the crap you're talking about. Well, they were maps and they were on things called paper. And so on that map, there is a legend. And it defines the meaning of the symbols that are on the map. So if it's a blue line, it's a river. If it's a dash, it's the railroad tracks or whatever. And so there's some definitions of what a legend could be. Now, last week we taught part one, which was the legend of Christmas. And for some of you guys, I ruined Christmas. Because I told you some of the Americanized version of the Christmas story. And I won't go into that again because I don't want to burst any more balloons or bubbles. But then we took an honest look at the miracles of Jesus' birth. And as we looked at them, we learned that the story of Jesus' birth, it's not reasonable. I mean, when you think about a virgin birth, born of the Holy Spirit, angels talking, wise men coming, following a star, right? I mean, following a star, okay. Well, again, some of that is not reasonable as we think about it. But here's what we learn. The story of Jesus' birth is not reasonable. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. There's no way to explain it except for God did it. God did it. He showed up in a mighty way and he sent his son to be born. And so it's not a legend that, again, that you can question. It is a true story and we believe it and we want to spread the name of Jesus. Amen? That's right. Yeah. So it's supernatural. And so today I want to continue the series in part two by preaching you a message entitled Jesus, the Living Legend. Jesus, the Living Legend. How many of you guys have ever met a legend here on earth? Anybody ever met a legend in your mind? And in your, anybody want to tell us? Who was the legend? Anybody?
Guy Allen.
He's a famous roper, right? Yeah, that's awesome. You're a legend. Did you have a legend in mind? You met Elvis? Seriously, Elvis is a legend, right? Elvis is not dead, right? Ben Johnson, yeah, the Ben Johnson, yeah. He's a great Western actor, yeah. Steven Tyler, he is a legend. There you go, Billy Graham, yeah, Billy Graham. I mean, those are awesome legends. I'll tell you a few of my legends, and what's weird about the legends sometimes that I meet, I always meet them in the bathroom. Like, what the heck? The other day I was at a conference and Troy Aikman was speaking at the conference and I walk in, or I'm actually in the bathroom doing the bathroom thing, and I look over and I look next to me and there's Troy Aikman. And I'm like, keep your eyes up, Bo, keep your eyes up. Troy Aikman, I met him in the bathroom. Actually, I didn't even say anything. I just looked at him, but anyway. Another guy, we went to Pawhuska the other day, and if you've ever heard of the Pioneer Woman, anybody ever heard of the Pioneer Woman, Pawhuska? So I go to the bathroom, and here I am in the bathroom, and I go up to the sink, I'm washing my hands, and I look over to the right, and there's Lad Drummond, the Marlboro Man, right? There's Lad Drummond, I look at him again, and I'm like, hey, you hard at it today? He's like, not yet, man. We're going to go gather a few in here in a little bit. And I'm like, cool. Talk to you later. One rule in the bathroom is never shake hands. You just, again, eye contact's, you know, it's, you know, not advised either. But anyways, so those are the guys I met in the bathroom. I actually met another legend in some of y'all's mind, and his name was Barry Switzer. Anybody ever heard of Barry Switzer? My wife and I went to a Dwight Yoakam concert at Riverwind Casino, and Barry Switzer's in the back where I'm sitting, and I'm like, hey, buddy, that's my seat. And that's all I could say to him, too. Anyways, met a guy named T. Boone Pickens. Anybody ever heard of T. Boone Pickens? Yeah? So I was at the dedication for the stadium, the T. Boone, or Boone Pickens Stadium, and T. Boone's on the stage, and he gives this, you know, dedication, and he walks off the stage, and I'm standing right by the stage, and all I could do was stick my hand out, and I stuck my hand out like this, and I shook his hand, and I said, good job. Those are the only two words I could get out of my mouth, but I just shook the hand of a billionaire. Larry Mahan, anybody ever heard of Larry Mahan? I met Larry Mahan in an elevator with my son. I looked over, and here's this guy, and I'm like, that's Larry Mahan. Famous rodeo athlete, just an outstanding bull rider. I mean, legendary. Tuff Hedeman. Anybody heard of Tuff Hedeman? Yeah, got to meet him. There's one of the newest legends in the world is Del Brisby. Anybody ever heard of Del Brisby? Nobody's heard of him. Look him up. He is a new legend. He will go down in history as a legend. He is a character. He's a cowboy. He's the most famous bull rider in the world that you've never met. So look him up. He's just a social media phenomenon and a legend on social media. But those are some of the legends that I have met. But here's the thing. In today's world, legends are made in a different way. And you say, well, how are they made in a different way? Well, legends today are determined by the number of followers that follow them. Anybody on social media? Raise your hand if you're on social media. Yeah, here, I'll give you a few of the legends that are in our world today, and I'll tell you how many followers they are. You ready? LeBron James. Anybody know LeBron James? Anybody a fan? Anybody Kevin Durant? Oh, come on now. Never mind. LeBron James, you say, how many followers does he have on Instagram? Well, he has 34 million followers. 34 million. I'll keep going. I'm going to get to the highest one. You're not going to have a clue who this person is. But Justin Timberlake. Anybody ever heard of Justin Timberlake? Yeah, he sang with the guy named Chris Stapleton, one of the best versions of Tennessee Whiskey I've ever heard in my life. Anybody ever heard that version? Go listen to it. It's legendary. Justin Timberlake has over 47 million followers. I'll give you another example. Justin Bieber. Any Biebers? Fever. Bieber fever. Come on, kids. Bieber fever, guess how many followers? 95 million followers. I'll keep going. Taylor Swift, any Swifties? Right? Swifties? All the boys are raising their hands. Anyways, Taylor Swift has 105 million followers on Instagram. Pretty amazing, legendary. This one you may or may not know. This is number two on the list. A guy named Cristiano Ronaldo. Anybody ever heard of Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah, famous. I can't even say his name, but he's a famous soccer player. Guess how many followers he has? 117 million followers. Soccer player. All right, number one. You say, well, who's number one on the list? Well, I'll give you the name, and some of you guys are going to recognize it. Some of you won't. Her name is Selena Gomez. Anybody ever watch Wizards of Waverly Place? Come on, some of you kids grew up on Selena. You know, you think Bieber's famous. I mean, Selena Gomez has over 131 million followers. 131 million followers. You think, legends, how are they made today? Well, they are made by the number of followers that follow them. Now, here's the thing. You might be impressed, but I did some research, and if you were to add up, let's say Selena Gomez's Twitter followers, her Instagram followers, her Facebook followers, if you were to add all those up, they still can't compare to the person of Jesus Christ who has over 2 billion followers. 2 billion followers have trusted in Jesus Christ over the years, and guess what? His followers are still growing. Amen? Because of churches like ours, his followers are still growing. And you say, is he that famous on social media? No, he's not on Instagram. I mean, there may be a fake Jesus on there, but I'm talking about he has followers in faith. Followers that trusted in him as their personal Lord and Savior. And so no matter whom you consider to be a legend, no one can compare to Jesus. And so you say, well, what makes him legendary? Well, I'll give you 3 points and I'm done. You ready? Number one, his life was legendary. His life was from his birth. I mean, his birth was the start of his legend, right? I mean, and when I talk about a legend in this, I mean, he is a legend. His story is true, so it's not a legend in that respect, but he is a legend. Look at Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, but when the right time came, God did what? He sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that we could be adopted, or so that he could adopt us as his very own children. You say, why is his life so legendary? Well, first of all, his birth was legendary. At the just the right time, God said, hey, son, I want you to go to the earth. And here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus didn't lose a bet with the Holy Spirit and have to come to earth. I mean, some people are like, well, you know, he got the raw end of the stick. Well, no, here's the thing. He didn't get punished by coming to the earth. Guess what? He wanted to come to earth. God wanted him to come to earth. Why? Because he was going to save us from our sins. And so it wasn't a punishment, it was a privilege for Jesus to come to the earth. It was his purpose, it was his calling to come to the earth and so that he could save us and free us from the sin of slavery, or the slavery of sin, excuse me. And can I just say this? He came in legendary style, right? I mean, we talked about it last week. He was born of a virgin. I've never heard of that. Right? That's legend right there. That's legendary. His mom was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what makes him a legend. Angels spoke in dreams. Wise men followed a star to come see him. Again, it's not reasonable. It's supernatural. And this is what made Jesus' birth legendary. This is just the start of his making of a legend. But, you know, so you say, well, what else about his life makes him a legend? Well, I'll give you another thing that just floors me. Jesus, when he, his birth, his life, his death, in all of that, guess what? He fulfilled over 300 prophecies. This is what I want you to learn this because this is amazing. And you say, well, what is a prophecy? Well, let me explain it to you. It's a prediction. Like when you think about a prophecy, you think about a prediction. Well, in the Bible, let me show you the Bible. In the Bible, you have an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament is 39 books, right? In the front of the Bible, the New Testament is the last 27 books of the Bible. Now, here's the thing. The Old Testament talks about creation all the way to Jesus' birth. The New Testament talks about Jesus' birth until he dies, and it talks about the disciples and the church, right? Well, here's what I want you to realize. In the Old Testament, there was prophecies made about Jesus. But get this. The prophecies were made hundreds, if not thousands of years before Jesus was actually born. Think about that. And you say, well, what's the point? Well, Jesus fulfilled over 300 of those prophecies. And I'll give you a few of these. And prophecy said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Guess what? He was born in Bethlehem. Prophecy said he would be born of a virgin. Guess what? He was born of a virgin. Prophecy said that he would come from the tribe of Judah, right? He was from the tribe of Judah. Prophecy said that he would be called a Nazarene. Guess what? He was called a Nazarene. Prophecy said that the Messiah would be betrayed. Guess what? He was betrayed. The prophecy said that he would die on a cross. Guess how he died? He died on a cross. And you say, well, what are the odds? What are the odds of Jesus fulfilling 300 of those prophecies? Well, I'll give you some amazing facts. You ready? Just to fill eight of the 300 prophecies was a 1 in a 10 to the 17th power odd. Chance, right? Let me say it again. Some of you guys aren't good at math like me. Just to fulfill 8 of the 300 prophecies, he had a 1 and a 10 to the 17th power chance at fulfilling them. And you say, well, I don't know, just explain that. How's that work? Well, I'll give you an illustration. And again, this is just to fulfill 8 of the 300. You take 10 to the 17th power in silver dollars. How many of you guys have ever had a silver dollar? Anybody ever have one? My kids, they actually got their first silver dollar yesterday. Guess who it came from? How'd you get your silver dollars? Your grandma, right? So Heather's grandma gave my kids a 50-cent piece, which they'd never seen before, and a silver dollar. And what else do grandmas give? $2 bills. I didn't even know they existed anymore. But everybody gets a $2 bill from your grandma. Well, my kids got a silver dollar. So you say, well, what, you know, illustrate this. Well, you take 10 to the 17th power in silver dollars and you lay them on the face of Texas, all across the face of Texas, right? Guess what? Guess how deep those silver dollars would be? 2 feet deep. All on the state of Texas. If you were to lay these silver dollars out, they would be 2 feet deep. Now listen to this. Jesus, I'll give you the illustration here. If I was to take a silver dollar out of one of those silver dollars, you know, 10 to the 17th power, I was to put an X on it and throw it in the mix of the state of Texas with 2 feet full of silver dollars and blindfold, I would say Jesus, but Jesus would find it. If I was to blindfold my wife and say, hey, babe, you need to go find that silver dollar amongst those 10 to the 17th power silver dollars, that's the chance that she would have at fulfilling just 8 of those prophecies. You say, why is he a legend? His life was legendary. I mean, he fulfilled, you know, over 300 prophecies. Here's another fact about his life. While on earth for 33 years, guess what? Jesus never sinned. How many of you guys have ever sinned? Anybody ever sinned? If you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You are a sinner. But here's the thing. Jesus never sinned. I mean, listen to the scripture. In 1 Peter 19, verses 20, you know, nine, or 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, it was the precious blood of Christ, the what? The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. You say, so why is he legendary? He is legendary because he was sinless. He fulfilled the prophecies and his birth was supernatural. And so his life was legendary. Here's number two. His love is legendary. I want you to hear this because some of you guys need to experience Jesus' love for the very first time today. This may be your first time in church in a long time. Listen, he loves you in a legendary way. And you say, well, how did he, you know, show his love? Well, the greatest example that I can give you is something that happened recently just this last week. I have a great friend. He was in my wedding named Jeremy Freeman. He's one of my best friends. He pastors a church in Newcastle. And his son was in a wreck last week. He was going to an OU basketball game, and he came across the Highway 35 right there on Highway 9, right there by the Riverwind Casino, and he came around the overpass there to get onto I-35, hydroplaned. He and his younger brother, this kid Caleb, he's 16, and his younger brother I think is 13 or so, hydroplaned and slid out into the middle of I-35 and was T-boned by a semi. And obviously just trauma to his head, trauma to his brain, and he's still in a coma. I ask you to pray for Caleb. He still hasn't woke up, and they need a miracle. But here's I don't, if there's something that came good out of it. My buddy Jeremy was actually interviewed by Channel 4, 5, and 9. I don't know if you saw this, but he was interviewed. I was there. And he was interviewed by 4, 5, and 9, and he, through fighting back tears as he's getting interviewed, he said, you know, I love my son, but what I realize is that God loves my son more. And yeah. Here's the thing. God loves you more too. You think, oh, I love my kids and nobody could ever love them more. No, he loves you more. And you say, well, how did he show his legendary love? Well, listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, though he was who? Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his what? Divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus showed his love by leaving heaven to come to earth. I mean, think about it. He left a perfect place to come to an evil place. He left a perfect father to be without his father, right? He left a, you know, a place where he was served and he was worshiped to a place where he was a servant and he was hated. I mean, that's his love for us, from living a perfect life to dying the worst of the worst of the worst death. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. And because he came to earth on the Christmas day, listen, that is why we call him Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. And here's the great thing about Jesus coming to the earth. You know what it shows me? It shows me that he understands our struggle. Because he walked in the flesh, because he walked on this earth for 33 years, guess what he faced? He faced struggles. He faced pain. He faced all the things that we face. And here's the even cooler thing. He can do something about those struggles in your life. Not only does he understand them, but he can do something about them. Because he's Emmanuel, God with us, he knows your pain. If you're here today and you're experiencing some sort of maybe emotional pain or physical pain or, you know, just the pain of a loss, you know, you're missing, you know, some of your loved ones this Christmas. Listen, he understands that. You know why? Because he came to earth. He experienced loss. He experienced those that were going through depression. He experienced those that, you know, that felt alone. And he did something about them. He brought joy to people's lives. He healed the sick. He healed the brokenhearted. Those that were fearful, guess what? He set them free, and he can set you free today as well. And so he came to do this for us. He came to the earth for us. And you maybe think, well, I'm not good enough to, you know, deserve his love. Here's some good news. Nothing you can do, nothing you've done, and nothing you will do in the future can ever change his love. Nothing. You say, I'm the worst of sinners. That doesn't change his love. I mean, God proved his love by sending his son Jesus to die just for you. Look at Romans 5:8. It says, but God showed his what? Great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still what? We were still sinners. I mean, I love my family. I love everybody. I love all those people. But you say, Bo, would you die for your enemy? I'd be like, not so much. You know what I mean? I mean, just think about it. You say, how did Jesus show his love? He didn't just die for preachers. He didn't just die for those that have believed in him. He died for his enemies. I don't know if you remember his prayer while he was being crucified on the cross. Do you remember his prayer? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even on the cross, his love was legendary. It was legendary, and he proved it through that prayer. So his life was legendary. His love was legendary. And here's the last point. His resurrection was legendary. I mean, I don't know if you read the story lately about his resurrection. I mean, it's Christmas, but I want to read this real quick to you. In Luke 24, it says, but very early in Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared, clothed in dazzling robes. When the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground, then the man asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is, what? It's not underlined, but what is it? He's alive. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Amen. And so here's what I want you to grasp. Not only did Jesus make a legendary entrance, guess what? He made a legendary exit. Right? And here's the awesome truth. You say, well, is that the end of the story? No, here's the even cooler part. One of these days, he's going to make a legendary return.
Amen?
Amen? And so you say, well, Jesus, I mean, his death, I mean, is that legendary? People die every day. What's legendary is that he rose from the dead.
Amen.
And he did it. And you say, well, what does that do for us? Well, it makes him a living legend. He's not a dead legend. Show the picture of the title slide for this message. I want to show you this. These guys are legends on this picture. Maybe you know some of them, maybe you don't. There it is right there. Augustus McCrae. Anybody ever heard of him? Legend. Guess what? He was fictional. Some of you guys don't believe that, but he is. James Dean. Guess what? He's dead, right? Legend. Geronimo, dead. Chris Kyle, dead. Clint Eastwood's still alive, but the guy in the white hat, what's his name? Gene Autry. Dead, right? John Wayne, dead. Johnny Cash, dead. Paul Newman, is he alive? He's still alive. Elvis is dead. Maybe some of you don't believe it, but he is. Right? But here's the cool thing about Jesus. Jesus died on a cross, but then he rose from the dead. Therefore, he is the living legend. The living legend. Listen to Jesus' own words in Revelations 1:18. He says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave. And so right now, Jesus is on the throne. He's at the right hand of God. His life was legendary. His love is legendary, and his resurrection was legendary. Was legendary. And so after all of this, here's the question that I would ask of all of you. Have you believed in Jesus, the living legend? Have you placed your faith in the Jesus that came to this earth on Christmas Day, but lived a life and at the age of 33 was crucified just for you? Have you placed your faith in him? Are you a follower of Jesus? I hope that you are. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. We're coming to the most important time of my message. And you say, why is it so important? Well, Jesus brought you here today for a reason. And maybe you're here today and you've never placed your faith in the living legend, which is Jesus. Today you have that opportunity. On this Christmas Eve, here's what we believe. We believe that Jesus came. He was born of a baby. He was crucified on the cross so that he could save us from our sin. You say, what does that have to do with me? Well, he died for you. He's living for you. And he wants a relationship with you. And so maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Listen, he wants to have a relationship with you. You say, well, how do I begin my relationship with Jesus? It's simple. Again, it's supernatural, but it's simple. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible also says if you will confess him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, but what does it mean to be saved? I mean, you keep throwing around that word. What does that mean? Well, that means your past sin, your future sin, the sin that you're living in now, he can forgive you of it. He can make you new. He can give you a hope that you've never had. He can give you love that you've never felt. And he, most of all, can give you eternal life in heaven. But here's what he says. He says, I need you to confess me as your Lord. I need you to believe in me. Not just that I was a baby born in a manger, but that I died and that I rose from the dead. And so maybe you're here today and you need to accept Jesus into your life. You say, but how do I do that? Well, at 9 years old, I prayed a simple prayer, and God heard my prayer. And ever since then, I've known Jesus personally. And you can do that today. So maybe you're here today, and you just say, well, I want to know him personally. Well, I want to lead you in what we call a prayer of salvation. Again, it's not about the words. It's about your heart. And so it's not about saying the exact words that I say. It's about believing in your heart. And maybe you just need to pray these words in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that I'm not good enough to deserve your love. But Jesus, I'm trusting in you today. I'm giving you my life. I'm making you my Savior. You are a living legend, and I want to know you personally. Listen, my prayer is, and I believe it is, that some of you have just now given your life to Jesus. This is why we have a church. This is why Jesus came, so that we can share his legendary story with other people, and so that other people can truly become a follower of him. And so if you just gave your life to Jesus for the first time, listen, you have made the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. And we celebrate that decision with you. And you say, well, what's my next step? Well, that's why the church exists. We come alongside of you. We help you get, help you get saddled up, so to speak, and begin to ride for Jesus. And so we want to know that you've made a decision so that we can help you. We can give you some resources. We can show you what the next step is in your new relationship with Jesus. And so we celebrate your decision today. Some of you are here today and you've given Jesus your life. You've known him for a while. But you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with depression. I know Christmas is a time where a lot of people feel that. Maybe you're struggling with just the pressures of life. Maybe just, even paying the mortgage or, keeping your job or finding a job or, someone's not healthy in your family and you're just going through a lot. Can I just share with you some amazing truths? You're not alone if you know Jesus. He's right there beside you. And though you walk through a valley, though you walk through a wilderness, though you walk through a storm, and it's in your life right now, you're not alone. He is there with you. And so my encouragement is to lean into him. Run to him. Let him wrap you up in his loving arms today and show you his legendary love, even today. And so maybe you just need to cry out to God and just say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want your healing in my life. Jesus, I want your love in my life. I'm coming to you because you are with me. And I believe in you, and I know you can help me today. Again, if you're struggling today, we are here for you. We want to help you through your struggle. In just a minute, Heather's going to come. She's going to share with you how you can share with us that prayer request or the struggle that you're going through. And one of our pastors can contact you and minister to you and help you get through whatever you're going through this time of your life. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you. I thank you for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to share your legendary story. And Lord, today as people are here, maybe for the first time in a long time, I pray that they've felt you moving in their life. I pray that they realize that your life was a legendary story. That your love is legendary and they can experience it. And that you rose from the grave to save us. And so Lord, we thank you that we can know you. We thank you for Christmas. Thank you for being with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you've made a commitment today, you can get in touch with us at thousandhillsranch.church or call us at 580-216-6427. We ride to be generous and we celebrate the cheerful giver. If you feel led to give, please go to thousandhillsranch.church and click on the Give tab to give your tithes and offering today. Have a blessed week.